night. This is one of our last chances to kind of push ourselves through our ministry list, try to explain them, try and help you out. I think there's a little bit of confusion on the list that I put out before you. If they are in bold print, it simply means that we already have a ministry in place. It does not mean that we're not looking to tweak that ministry, to improve that ministry, it is that it's just already in place. So if you did not get one of those lists, there are a few still up here. You can pick one up later on at your convenience. Somebody have a testimony? Tell me something good the Lord's done for you this week. God done anything this week? Or has he just been... Miss Cheryl? She went ice skating with her teenagers last winter and is still suffering from headaches and things as a result of that. But yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? What's the Lord done? Brother Dan. Hey, that's good. Yes. Don't need to see you for another year. That's always good. Miss Joy? Amen. That is good. Anybody else? Miss Carol. I enjoy sunshine. Isn't that nice? I've got spring fever like you can't imagine. I just cannot wait for it to stay nice and warm. But yesterday was nice, yes. But Tim. Amen. Miss Sue? Amen. Was that just this last week that you went to the hospital on Monday? Man, it seems like a month ago already. But yeah, just on Monday she was at the hospital and doing better. Praise the Lord. All the way over. Charlton. Amen. But you did win. Doesn't matter, but it was nice to win, wasn't it? That was exciting. Amen. I saw that on Facebook. Anybody else? Don? Yeah. Amen. And got a new one signed up yesterday. That's exciting. Yeah, we've started a bus route on Wednesday nights, and it's been exciting to watch the Lord. And I mean, it's a bus ride for kids, but we have a lady that's joined us on Wednesday nights. She comes because her granddaughter gets picked up on the bus, and she comes with us. She's in here with us on Wednesdays, and Miss Barb, and that's been a real exciting thing to see happen as well. Anyone else? Okay, let's jump into this then. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Swords drawn, charge. When somebody gets there, stand up and read it for me real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. You guys are slow, man. At school, they'd have been up and reading, fighting. Okay, listen to what it says. God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. The idea that ministry is our great privilege. And by the way, this I'm aware that Paul, as a full-time minister, is writing to Timothy as a full-time minister. But in context of that book and of the rest of the scripture, all of us are called in the ministry. All of us are full-time Christians, whether we're playing basketball or whether we're doing something through the church or whether we're at work being a good testimony and a witness. God has called us in the ministry. And when we adopt the mindset that this is an honor and a privilege, that God has graciously counted us worthy of being called into ministry, then ministry becomes our privilege, not a burden. Remember, we were talking this morning, we don't want the ministry to become a burden, but it's an honor and a privilege and a joy. And that's what we want to get to. So we're going to go on into some more of these groups in just a moment. And hopefully you'll be thinking, praying, and next Sunday night, I want you to come ready to say, okay, here's where I believe God is asking me to fit in. Let's pray first, and then we'll talk. Father, we just ask your blessings upon tonight as we look again at the ministry of Southeast Baptist Tabernacle, how you might use us here. Help us to see a direction, have a vision, a goal, a desire. And I pray that you would so work in each and every heart that we would count it our honor to be able to minister to you. And Father, we will thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm gonna put you all on the spot somewhat, and I'm not trying to do anything in this. On purpose, I'm gonna divide this up. But I want you to see, I don't want you to misunderstand how this whole thing has come about. I do not believe that there are not enough of you doing something necessarily. That's not it. I'm well aware that we have a church full of servants, and I'll prove it to you. If you work in the nursery ever, stand up for me, please. Just stand up. Show me that you work in the nursery. Thank you. Wow, look at that. You may be seated. That's amazing because a fourth of the congregation just stood up. If you work in children's church or Sunday school, stand up for me, please. Children's church or Sunday school, stand up for me, please. Let's see. Wow, again, thank you. You may be seated. That is incredible. I appreciate it. If you sing in the choir or special music or play an instrument for us, stand up for me, please. And let's see who you are. I'm trying to get you to understand. I know. Thank you. You may be seated. I know we have a church full of servants. I'm not going with this list because I'm trying to say to you that I don't think you're doing. You are. I could keep going. Kids for Truth, Vacation Bible School. I could go to the hallway and the security and ushers. And by the time we got done, just about everyone in here would stand up once. I'm aware that as churches go, that's huge. Most churches go by this kind of statement, right? 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That's the mentality that most churches have, and that's not what is in existence here. I understand it. I don't want you to think that I am complaining over these last few weeks, saying, why don't you people get busy? I know that you're busy. But what I want to do is to draw a vision for you of how God can use you differently, or how God might open up ministries of opportunity for you to fill a gift or something that you've always thought about doing, but we didn't give you the opportunity. To let you know that while there were a bunch of people standing up for the nursery, the last three services, not counting this, not the last three services, but last Sunday morning, last Sunday night, last Wednesday night, we started the service by this, standing up and saying, we need help in the nursery. And I told them when I announced in Sunday school this morning about Bart and Nicole's little one this is like horrible news for some of you. No, please don't give us another baby, you know, because our nursery, I think last Sunday morning we had 17. If you've ever seen our nursery, it's literally a 12-foot by 12-foot room. That's our nursery, 17 kids. And there's not enough workers on the planet to handle 17 kids. And it's like, wow, that just, you know, that's a lot of kids. And you say, well, all you have to do is let them lay there. Oh, yeah, right, okay. Everybody who's never worked in the nursery said amen to that statement. No one else did. You get the idea. So, but I just want you to understand, I know you're busy. I know that. I want to challenge us to do a little more. I think that all of us could do a little more. And what I really want to do is to challenge you to find that niche. Because sometimes what you do is you do what you feel like, okay, well, nobody else is doing this, so I'll do it. But you feel like a square, you know, peg in the round hole, and you're not really fitting in like you would like to. And so hopefully we can, you know, better tailor some ministries to fill with the gifts that God has given to you. So that's really what we're trying to do, is just simply multiply the impact of the ministry of Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. And that's going to have to happen, quite honestly, it's going to happen through the Sunday night crowd. You know, it's not that the Sunday morning crowd is really going to be the ones to fill in. It's going to be you. And I, like I already showed you, you're already busy. I know. But some of you are just looking for something. Some of you are looking for a change up. Some of you are looking for some help in those ministries. So that's what we're trying to do. So right now we're going to go to the back of that page, if you have that page with you. And we're going to look at the children's ministries very quickly. They're pretty much self-explanatory, but we'll look at them very quickly, all right? Children's churches. We have three children's churches. Two of them run fairly smoothly. Can you guess which one struggles? You already know. We talk about it all the time. If we had, we have 52 weeks in a year. If we had 52 couples sign up, you would still feel like you put in more than what you deserved on that one children's church, at least for another year. Then they're all going to graduate into the next group, and it's no longer that three- and four-year-old class. But boy, I tell you, that 3 and 4 is right now just a large group of kids. And so it's the challenge. What we need are people who will sign up to work in children's church, but we also need to spend some time training our people to work in children's church. One of the problems that we've had is that people volunteer, but they're volunteering and they get there and they are inadequately trained, our fault, inadequately trained, and then they get discouraged because it's not easy to do, not as easy as it sounds, so that becomes somewhat. Patch Club in the summer times. JD and Matt pretty much run Patch Club. We'll have an intern here this summer. He'll work in Patch Club, and that's great. Patch Club is our summertime program on Wednesday nights for the kids, and it's a great program. It already is working, but there it is. Kids for Truth happens now on Wednesday nights. Sunday school, Vacation Bible School is always a big one. We always need a lot of helpers with Vacation Bible School. It's always a big event. And then our kids' choir meets during choir practice. You can help us most of all by simply, you know, coming to choir yourself and putting your kids into kids' choir. That's the way you can help it, you know. Just let them go and be a part of it, and it'll be a great help. And then we started the kids' choir, quite honestly, because, you know, your kids don't have anything to do if you come to choir practice, and we want your kids to have something to do. Because whether you realize it or not, a child left unto himself, finish it, bringeth his mother shame. Now, that's the word of God. That's not just your grandma's wife's tale. That's the word of God. A child left unto himself. So just having your kids run around the church building doesn't work. It doesn't. So just a place for your kids to go and say, well, it's not the funnest thing on my kids don't think it's fun. It's 45 minutes of their life. And you get a chance to, once a month, brag on them as they sing. So it's just a fun time. Anyway, there it is. So that's how you can help. We're looking at a day camp possibility. And we're trying to just simply take advantage of the thing that I hate. I'm just being honest with you. I hate that right now we have 8 weeks in the summer. We used to have 12. there were years we got 13 weeks of TNT into our summer because that's the way the school schedule fell. Our school schedule is now down to 8 weeks, which is really convenient for vacations. You get 2 weeks in the fall, 2 weeks at Christmas, 2 weeks at spring. But it's terribly inconvenient for every church program because in 8 weeks, we've got to fit in a vacation Bible school, a week of camp, a revival, and you know all the stuff that we do in the summer. And it's just a challenge. By the time we get to the end of the summer, Pastor Andrew and I are like dying because every other week is a major event. Not a minor one, a major event. And so it's like, wow. So, but rather than just sit up here and complain about it, we could embrace the opportunity. So in the fall, in the spring, we could say, what if we our church did like a vacation Bible school program, a day camp, during the two-week break? Because you know what I've noticed? It's an amazing thing. The first year, parents are like, yes, we can take vacation. But now they don't. And I don't know what their kids are doing. I don't. I guess I do. The school provides some programs. And then I guess babysitters come. I don't know what the kids do for those 2 weeks at fall. But wouldn't it be neat if our church provided something for them to do? So that's an idea that we're looking at. That would be a whole new thing. You say, Pastor, I don't like long-term commitments. This is short-term. It's a week. And that would be you. You know, that would be a great opportunity to jump in and fill in for some of those things. So what do you think is the most important aspect of kids' ministries? Well, that's the most important way of making work, says the guy who's in charge of one of the Wednesday night programs. Just show up, please. Help us out. But what's the most, why do churches do children's ministries? Okay. For one, because most people who trust Christ as their Savior do so while they're kids. You know, I mean, you can literally count them, the people that you knew in their 30s, 40s, 50s that trusted Christ as their Savior. It usually happens early. What else? Say that out loud. Who just said that? To reach the parents. You know what? Because attached to every kid is a mom, dad, brothers, sisters, grandmas, grandpas, and that's the reason you do it. So the children's ministry is just the, you know, it's just that initial. We do vacation Bible school so that we can reach out to the moms and dads, the grandmas and grandpas, and we can, you know, it makes it so much easier. Hardly any parent, if you go knock on the door and say, hi, I'm from Southeast Baptist Tabernacle, we just wanted to say hi, they close the door. But if you say, hi, we're from Southeast Baptist Tabernacle, and your child came to, it changes everything, right? It just does. There's something about ministering to their kids that makes it much easier for us to minister to them. And so there's the follow-up of all of those kids' programs. There's a follow-up attached to every one of them. Not, you know, that you say, well, I don't really deal with kids that much. Great, I got a job for you. There's a parent attached to every kid that somebody needs to be following up with. There's a follow-up to every kid's program that we do, and that's why you do it. Let's skip on over to the fellowship groups. We have currently fellowship groups. Golden Prayer Warriors, the controversial Golden Prayer Warriors. When do you become a Golden Prayer Warrior? Well, when you show up. It is much like most of what we do. You know, there's not a hard and fast. I will tell you, when we started Golden Prayer Warriors, we said 50 and up because we were a church of 40 people, and if you wanted to have more than four people show up, you needed to enlarge the group. So it started out at 50, and then, you know, but now we have a lot, and we could actually divide the Golden Prayer Warriors into a couple of groups if that's what we wanted to do, if you started at 50, because it's just there. So you know what? But Golden Prayer Warriors, like they just said, when you show up, if you show up, they'll embrace you. The Jameses have been going to the Golden Prayer Warriors for about 3 or 4 years, and there's, you know, I think they might have finally turned 40. I don't know how old you are, but, you know, it is what it is. They'll always embrace you. That's the idea, but it's a great group. Andy and Gene Trump kind of head that up right now, so there it is. The gift class, what does that stand for, gift? Growing in faith together. All right, growing in faith together. That's Darren's class that meets over there. The Refuge class is my class that meets upstairs. It's loosely called Young Marrieds. It kind of goes from 20-something to however old the Mowers are. So Young Marrieds, you know, young is all in the brain, right? It's all what you said. There it is. It's that and it's that. The Recharge class meets over in our garage. That's Abe and Melissa head up that. That is, again, roughly our, they struggle, just like all of our groups struggle. What are we going to call ourselves? Are we singles? We're not really. Singles implies something. You know, if you call yourself a singles ministry, then the implication of that is, you know, we're trying to quit being single. You know, so it's like, okay, this is a place to go meet somebody and not be single. Well, that's not necessarily the emphasis of the class. And so they go back, are they career and college career class, whatever. So they're that 20-something class you figure out. I don't know. Do you guys ever decide what you guys are? So they keep battling that out. How do we define ourselves? Well, I'll tell you how they define themselves. They're the Recharge class, and they meet over there in the garage. Our ladies class meets back here. Miss Gail runs the ladies class for us now. Miss Patty for years was that teacher, and she finally said, I'm however old she is. 80-something, I need to kind of pass it on. So when she passed over into 80-something, she said, and she passed on to Miss Gail. Miss Gail's done a great job. The ladies, if you want somebody to pray for you, go to the ladies' class. And by the way, you don't have to be a lady. Just go back there one Sunday. I need your prayers. They'll be praying for you from that point forward. That's one of the great ministries that they do, and they will welcome you into the class. And so they're there. Our teenagers meet in that odd-shaped room that's off the fellowship hall. It's long and narrow, and they'll have any place from, I think Pastor Andrew said they had like 50-some in there the other day, and it's like 48 in there. Well, if you've seen the classroom, it's that 48 would be crowded, and I can't imagine how wonderful it must smell when it gets done with that. But and then I've listed below that, separate from the ladies' class, ladies' fellowship, because our ladies have two aspects to their ministry. They have a ladies' Sunday school class, but many of the ladies are dispersed throughout other Sunday school classes. And then they have a ladies' fellowship. We have, mother-daughter banquet every other year. We have the ladies' retreat every other year, that kind of thing that happens. And Bible studies, things like that. So those are our fellowship groups. There may be more that are happening out there, I don't know, but those are at least the ones that I'm aware of that are there. Technical is just what it says. Technical, I'm going to let you walk through it. But I want to go down to training. I want to walk you through this one again for just a moment, because I want you to begin to think about how you might fit into these things. SBI actually stands for Southeast Baptist Institute. About every 3 years or so, whenever we finally get up the energy and figure out a way to fit it onto the calendar, we'll run a series of classes, usually on Monday nights. And the idea is, I call it Sunday School on steroids. If you want more than just an overview type of class, but you would like to have an in-depth study of some topic or some book or whatever, then we make that happen. Our goal is to make it happen on a consistent basis. I would like to actually see it to where we have like a fall semester, spring semester. It usually runs about 6 to 8 weeks. That's all. It runs for a short time, then runs for a short time again in the spring. And, you know, the idea is just to use that for training. It's just what it sounds like. And we're not trying to start a school, meaning a college. We're not, you know, there's a college right down the street. If you want to live in Indianapolis and go to a Baptist Bible college, there's one right down the street you can go to. All right? Don't need to start a college. If you, you know, we don't need to start, a school for high school and elementary school, Christian school. We don't need a Christian school. There's one that way, 12 minutes. One that way, 10 minutes. One that way, 15 minutes. One further that way, 35 minutes. We're surrounded by Christian schools. Southeast Baptist does not need one. That's not what the point of the institute is. The institute is just to offer you biblical training. Bible studies we have going. We want to get a men's Bible study going again. Got some books together, Disciplines of a Godly Man. We'll be starting that up and ask you to sign up for that as well as we're coming into it. And we just do these periodically. There's no method to that madness. It's as we find a little bit of free time in our calendar, we throw in an 8-week study and we offer it to men, offer it to ladies different times of the year. And it's just that. Discipleship. How many of you made it through the Continue book? Let me see. You made it through the Continue book. So probably 70% of you in here, right quickly. So there's a few of you. I would love to see everybody go through that continued book, and it's a great discipleship. But what we'd like to do in order to make that happen, because this is what happens, is that you add people to the congregation, and they didn't get through it, and it's just a great book to go through. It's a good basic discipleship type of study. And so what we'd like to just have is like a rotating class, an ongoing class. It's always there. And so at the end of that 13 weeks, we're going to start it up again. At the end of that 13 weeks, start up again and just kind of keep it going. That would kind of incorporate with new members. Counseling, you know, pray about this. We're actually, have an opportunity perhaps to do some serious things with the counseling ministry, and God may be opening some doors. So there it is. There's a room out here off to the side. We call it a library. It's just kind of a room. And we would like to eventually have like a bookstore library thing. The idea of the bookstore is not that, you know, you can buy whatever you want to buy at Amazon.com. We're never going to be able to probably beat that kind of pricing, and we are aware of that. That's not the idea. But when we announce that, hey, we're going to have a men's Bible study and it's going to be about this book, wouldn't it be nice if you could just walk out there and find that book available here, and you don't have to go find it someplace because we have a bookstore, and then we have a library where you can just go in and check out books. And you can do that now, by the way. There's no official checking in on the library books. Just bring them back when you're done. That's what we ask. You know, they're there. Take them out. Bring them back. And don't bring books, please. We're not ready. We're just not. Every time I mention libraries, people say, oh, Pastor, I've got some books. No, I don't have any place to store them. You understand? So don't bring your books yet. If we need books, we'll let you know. But don't, please, don't bring them. Don't. It's just not ready. So those are those things. In order to make those things happen, we need people to actually run them. We need people to avail themselves of them. Missions. I'm going to finish these up today. I told you I was going to try to get through all of this. I want you to be ready for next week. Missions. We already have the missions conference. That's exciting. Pastor Andrew will take any help you want to give on the missions conference. Our missions committee does a good job. Who's the missions committee? Let me see who you are, missions committee. Raise your hand really high. Okay, take a look around. Those hands that are up, all right? There's about 8 or so, 10 people that are on the missions committee. Pastor Andrew kind of heads them up, and they get the missions conference ready. Did a great job this last month, and it was just a wonderful time. There's this thing called communication. I don't know if you're aware that we already have a ministry to that. Miss Monette, right? We still do that. Letter writing to our missionaries. If you want to get involved in letter writing to the missionaries, see Miss Monette. We say this all the time, don't we? We need to get to know our missionaries better, Pastor. Do that for us. What am I supposed to do to help you get to know the missionaries better? I can't pick us all up and fly us to, 30 different locations. The only way I can make that happen is to make their communication available to you. I don't know if you're aware, but we have a book laying out there on that table. It's called Missions. And in that book of missions are our missions letters. As they come in, the newest letter, we take out the old one, we put in the new one. We're not going to read them to you. You know, there's 40 letters. We're not going to read them all to you. But what we do is make them available to you. We have a board out here. Not a board, but a little television screen that kind of walks you through who our missionaries are, where they're at, et cetera, et cetera. Spend a little time standing there staring at the television and get to know who our missionaries are. Because there aren't enough services in the year for us to dedicate, to you getting to know our missionaries during the church service times. You understand? That has to happen outside of the church service. So get with Miss Monette. She'd love to have you helping her write letters and things like that. That's great. What we don't have is like a welcoming committee. When our missionaries show up, they often show up thinking, okay, now where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Because, they just kind of show up and we might have a table set up ready for them or whatever. It'd be nice to have just a welcoming committee for them. Miss Pam has already said, Pastor, we need help with the missions house. Not that they constantly need help. The missions house is one of those great ministries. You don't have to do it every day. You don't have to do it every week. But when it does need to be done, it has to be done. It's been a blessing to watch, but we're seldom finding empty times on the missions house now. And so when a missionary leaves and another one's coming, we want everything to be clean and pristine and ready to go. And our ladies are phenomenal about it. It's just always, but they could use some help because their schedules and the mission schedules had to be balanced out. Missions trips, we've already talked to you. Brother Brian mentioned, you know, medical missions. That's an opportunity for us to do as a church, taking mission trips together as a church. Those are great things. When the church takes a mission trip, it doesn't mean that the church pays for it. It means that, you know, the church organizes it, right? And then we earn the money, raise the money, or save the money, however you want to do it. But it is a great opportunity for you to get to know our missions and the missions projects. We already have some missions. We talked last Sunday. We're sending Pastor Andrew to Belize for 9 days? 9 days to go down there. He's going to preach for the missionary while he comes home. Now I'm going to give you something else to think about because it was mentioned last Sunday, and we'll maybe talk about this next Sunday night to confirm it up. But if the missionary is flying back here for his son's graduation at Pensacola, and we're going to fly Pastor Andrew down there, wouldn't it be nice for us to fly the missionary up here? And so we've got the money. It'd be about $2,000 for his family to fly up here for the graduation. And they're going to do it whether we offer it to them or not. You understand? They're already planning on doing it. That's why they asked Andrew to come down. So do they need us to do this? We're doing it no matter what, right? Would it be a blessing to them for us to say, you know what, we want to pay for your trip up here. And we've got the money, so why not? So that's just something for you to think about and get involved there. So there we are. We've pretty much gone through just about everything on the list. If I glossed over things that you felt like we should have covered more carefully, then you're welcome to ask. Here's what's going to happen come next Sunday night. We're going to have sign-ups scattered all over the place out there, representing all of these ministries that are there. You're going to tell us what new ministries we're going to start based on whether or not anybody signs up for them. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going to start a ministry that nobody wants to do. And that's exactly what we're doing. These are opportunities. These aren't necessarily like, we have to do this because Pastor said. No, these are just opportunities that we're simply saying, this is a possibility our church could do. If there's an interest in making it happen, then we want to facilitate making it happen. If there's not an interest, then okay, that's fine. It's not like none of these things are like God says you have to, you know, have a drama team in the Bible. There's no command for that. It's just an opportunity. And if you want to get involved in something. By the way, can I just say something about drama team? This would be, if I could choose certain things, this would be one of the things I'd really like to see us do. Drama teams are not just on the walk, we need drama. You know, those walks, Christmas walk, Easter walk, that's drama. But you could actually do drama in place of, like, special music. You know, have you ever heard, you know what a reading is? When someone does a reading, a dramatic reading, they're powerful when they're done well. They're excruciatingly painful when they're done poorly, but they're powerful when they're done well, you know? And so, but I just think that it would be fantastic to have someone do a dramatic reading and prepare our hearts that way. You know, have you ever heard someone give you a poem that just rips your heart out? It's a great poem, just really prepares you for what God's message is and that kind of thing. That's drama. I think there's a real place for a drama team in our midst. And so I'd like for you to, you know, just think about those kinds of things. This is what we're looking at. So as we've preached about it, taught about it, I've been placing this out there before you. It's getting down to where now we need to start signing up. I have one more opportunity next Sunday morning to kind of put before you my vision. Can I just be really transparent with you? I love being your pastor, and I hope that the Lord allows me to be here until I'm too old to be here. You understand? Either the Lord just takes me home, or that the Lord allows me to be here until I'm too old to be your pastor. In other words, I want to retire from Southeast Baptist. Retire being a quality. You never really retire from ministry. But, you know, I would love to transition from being your pastor to teaching at a Christian college someplace. And, you know, that's what a lot of transition is when I get... Now, having said that, when is that going to be? I don't know, but you know, I'm about to turn 56. And so if the Lord would be so gracious as to allow me to put 40 years in as your pastor, that would take me to 70. That's pushing that envelope of being too old to be a pastor. I'm just being honest, it is. But if the Lord would be so gracious, that would give me about 14 more years to be your pastor. And in 14 years' time, I would like to see us out of debt. I would like to see that gymnasium built and that educational wing. I would like to be able to hand off, if the Lord allows it to be Pastor Andrew or whoever, I would like to see to hand this ministry off in a shape to be able to take this ministry to heights that you and I have never imagined. You understand? And so right now the clock is ticking for your pastor. And so I feel a lot of that pressure of saying, there's still a lot of vision left in my mind and my heart that I'd like to see done before I'm done, you know? And so I do feel that. And I'm not saying that you should feel that pressure necessarily, but that's where I'm at. I want to see these things done. And my time's running out, you know. I'd like to get it all ready to go so that I can watch from heaven if the Lord tarries, as God does greater things than you and I have ever imagined him being able to do in this place. Isn't that exciting? So that's what I'm at, you know, and I'm asking you to buy into the vision. Let's together say, this is what we'd like to see. And in order to accomplish those two things, which seems like simple things, not simple things, those are the hardest things, but those are the brick and mortar things. But in order to accomplish those things, they're not going to be accomplished by just giving, even though you need to give. They're going to be accomplished by ministry. You understand how that works? That's what makes it happen. You grow the ministry through ministry, not through buildings. And then as you're ministering and your outreach increases, then the rest of it kind of fills in. And so that's where I'm at. I'm wanting to see what God has. And I'm hoping that you guys will just say, you know, Pastor, we want to join you. You know, if the Lord gives us another 14 years together, then, wow, wouldn't that be exciting? I'm not saying anything's going to happen in 14 years, but let's be honest, once I'm 70... you know, things are going to have to start happening someplace, right? And I don't feel old, but I look at, but when I realize that I'm 14 years from 70, that's frightening to me. You know, like, whoa, I don't feel old, but 14 years doesn't seem like a lot of time, you know? And 70, no offense to the rest of you, some of you, but 70 starts feeling old to me. It's like, ah, man, 14 years, you know? Easy, Dave. And so I'm just looking at this and saying, you know what? I want to hand the ministry off in great shape. You understand? And so I'm hoping we just jump in together and let's enjoy the ride while God does some incredible things. And that's what we're kind of looking at here together as we see what God's going to do. So next week, you be ready. Listen up. Here are your leadership. Let me tell you, these people already head up some aspect of ministry. Chad and Carrie Sloan, Bob and Carlene Kobza, Andy and Gene Trump, Dennis and Diana Hazelwood, Faith Atwell, Don and Hannah Cooper, Bruce and Monette Klingeman, Winita Posek, Ken and Sharon McKinney, Dan and Glenda Dennison, Chad and Angie Carter, Todd and Cheryl Norwalt, Darren and Gail Smith, J.D., Melody, Rod and Loretta Williams, Abe and Melissa Busick, Rick Smith, Brian Barber. Say, what's Brian Barber? Well, he's already made an announcement about the missions trip, so there you go. And Pastor, of course, Pastor Andrew, myself, and Miss Jessica. And if I've left somebody out, I don't mean to, but I know we have a lot of good workers. But folks, time is running short, you know, and let's see what the Lord's going to do, can we?